From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, this is Press Pass with Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hello, Mark. Happy summer, finally.
Yeah, finally it's here. Time to enjoy July 4th week. Well, the July edition of Buffalo Spree features the best of Western New York 2019, and Spree readers, along with a panel of experts, were asked to select the best our area has to offer in a variety of categories. Elizabeth, you write in your editor's letter that the polls can be instructive beyond the who won part, and how so?
Well, over the years, you know, when we first did this and had a reader poll, one of the reasons that we had to have a panel of experts in addition is that we didn't have enough responses when we first started out. A few hundred responses, that's not consensus. That doesn't give us an idea. So we choose people, our writers and other people from the community who really have expertise in the areas. And we still do that, except now we are getting thousands of responses, and there is clear consensus about certain items. So that's really interesting, and it's also interesting to see the things that everyone votes for and the things that they don't seem to care about too much.
Do you ever get a full ballot, everything filled in?
No.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah.
They run out of steam. You know, the first few questions, especially in food, best brunch, almost everybody answers. Then you get to like number 50 or so, it really drops off. So, you know, you have to deal with that, and it's just interesting what people care about, and people really care about food the most, without question.
That's the biggest section, food, 100 categories at
least. Yes, way too many. and that's how we change it up every year, is we change the categories and we add categories. And this time I think we added a whole bunch of really interesting categories, but then I probably should have deleted some categories, and I'll try to remember that for next year.
Another interesting tidbit is that you routinely get fewer respondents from the South towns, and why is that, do you think?
I don't know. Is it? Well, you probably would know that it might be a less heavily populated area than Amherst is, Williamsville, that sort of...
City of Buffalo.
I'm guessing less of a population base, and maybe as a result, fewer businesses. I will tell you, we had best place for live music, and someone actually answered, "We don't have anything. Help us."
My front porch.
It's not true. Actually, the 189 burger, which we chose, is very good. But I just think it's a question of less population.
Well, we can't even begin to go through all the winners here on the air. You'll need to pick up the July issue for that. But in our podcast each year, I always enjoy touching on my favorite category, and that's Best Local Scandal. Who is the winner this year?
Well, sometimes we just have to pick the obvious ones. I personally prefer obscure ones, like the Pocahontas scandal with Gypsy Parlor. But this time, it was Chris Collins, of course. And I really love, when we do the scandal, I always try to have, of course, these are not signed, but we try to have fun with it in the writing. And our writer here said, this one is like the solution to a game of Clue. Chris Collins on the White House lawn, insider training with his cell phone. And what makes it great is that we don't even have to say allegedly. So you need to have fun with it. We did not make up a plaque for this. We weren't sure that anyone would want the plaque had we made one up. Runner-up, Chris Collins reelected. So, you know.
Truly?
So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean the politicians have to get used to this. They provide us with a lot of serious fodder, a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to take seriously, and a lot of things to laugh at.
Of course, I always check out to see who earned Best Reporter. This year, WKBW-TV's Charlie Specht earned the honor for his coverage of another local scandal, the ongoing clergy abuse controversy.
Yes, very important. And I believe our Buffalo News winner also was covering something. These serious issues, that these are the local issues. We've talked about this before. If we don't have local media, these things aren't getting covered. And so it's essential.
Finally, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Lone WBFO connection this year. This time, the award for Best Power Couple.
Yes, Anthony Chase and Javiera Bustillos. And I... you would have to, you know, I don't know if you pay attention to Facebook at all, Mark, but they're really dining out on it in Facebook. They just did one post, and I think the responses are still coming in from people either congratulating them or making fun of them or saying how much they deserve it and so on. So obviously, we hit the nail on the head with this one, judging by the response that I'm seeing.
Yeah, and it's so wonderful because this wouldn't have even happened 20 years ago. You know, being mentioned. Gay
That's
marriage
right.
wasn't in a law yet, and it just wouldn't have happened.
Well, they could have been an unmarried couple. I mean, the couple doesn't have to be married, but we try to choose people. I mean, if you think about who the obvious power couples, and not to say that they haven't won in the past with the Bagulas or maybe. The Zemskis and we've had all those, but then also there's people who are maybe not as universally famous or rich or, you know, truly powerful, but who in the community have an incredible amount of influence. And that's absolutely true of Tony and Javier, mm-hmm. because they are fantastic role models. Focused on them when we did our LGBTQ issue a few years back, and we did a profile of them, and they actually spoke about this is something that they take very seriously. And I see them at events that celebrate the LGBTQ community, and they're completely role models. They are leaders in that community. They deserve to be recognized.
All right, let's move on to Garden Walk. Many Spree readers and those who are friends with you on Facebook know how much you enjoy gardening personally. And coming up later in July, it's the Buffalo Garden Walk, which I read is now the largest of its kind in the nation right now?
Yes. And I was actually just in Denver with a gathering of gardeners, garden writers, garden bloggers, and many of them told me they are coming to Buffalo at the end of July to go to Garden Walk. But I have to tell our listeners that there are maybe 15, 16 other garden walks going on in various places, and that includes Williamsville and Hamburg and Lockport and the Tonawanda. So look at all those other weekend garden walks that are happening throughout July, and we list them, and we'll have them online as well. And also the Open Garden program, which has open gardens every Thursday and Friday in July, where you just sort of find out where the gardens are. It's free. You just can go and visit them. And in this time, you're going to some really famous gardens, some really well-known gardens without the crowds. So it's not just Garden Walk, it's Garden Walks.
For those whose gardens are featured, I have to assume they're putting in an incredible amount of time and effort.
And money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, what does it take to have a garden worthy of being shared with others?
Nothing, really. Garden Walk is not curated. All you have to do is live within the footprint and put your name and describe your garden, and you can be on it. So there's no judging.
Okay.
Maybe people are judging inside when they come to visit. You have to assume that. But there is no official judging. However, that being said, people do put a lot of work and effort because they know people are coming. And mainly, actually, neatness counts more than one might. You have to make sure your edges are done, your mulch is done, and color. You know, color is something. Or having something unusual, like a fantastic water feature. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Jim Charlie's famous shed. But some feature in your garden that is amazing and that people remember. It's always interesting to guess when you're on the walk, as I am, which thing in your garden are people going to be mentioning or asking about the most.
Because this year I put a little extra time. We had people from out of town visiting us last weekend, and I spent a little more time
you
with
mowed
my
your
garden.
Lawn, did you?
No. I planted some annuals and edged and mulched, and I'm very proud of my garden, but still it
well, you did exactly the three
pales
things.
In comparison to some of the ones at the end of the block that are just outstanding.
Well, yes, and I think there's a garden walk in your
Snyder
area.
Snyder-Cleve Hill,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Snyder-Cleve Hill. Yeah, there's a garden walk for every region, and that's a great. You don't have to, if you can't get to the one at the end of the month, then just try to get to a small one, and sometimes it's a little easier. The big one, some areas in the big garden walk are so crowded that I have to wonder how much pleasure there could be in, forming one of those crowds. But there it is.
One more item, this from your Buffalo Days column on the last page of the July issue. You write about the hidden parks and quiet streets in the city that feature some remarkable architecture.
Yes. And first of all, this is based on the Explore Buffalo tours, and we kind of that's sort of an ongoing theme we have in this Buffalo Days series. So I look at their tours and see what they're doing. And this was the secret pocket parks of Allentown. And they are very small, but very beautiful. And particularly Arlington Park, which you really would have no reason or very little reason, unless you knew someone who lived there, to go there. There's no businesses there or anything. And it's kind of hidden away. There's a lot of one-way streets. Amazing architecture because the people who settled there, a lot of them were architects. They're trying to maybe impress each other with the type of homes that they build. And the one that we featured is just this amazing, the Eastlake. It's a like 1870 or so, I believe, and it has all the eaves dripping with ornamental woodwork, and a porch which I think was added after the house was built, but it's equally ornate. And the painting kind of reflects that and highlights all the different architectural features. It's an amazing house.
And it shows that it doesn't have to, the architecture doesn't have to be big and amazing to be enjoyed.
Oh, no. Well, in Allentown in particular, you have wonderful tiny workmen's cottages that are just beautiful. And I believe that there are some small bungalows in the North Buffalo as well that show that nothing really needs to be big.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.